Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, each and everyone who is joining in with us this evening. I count it an honor and a blessing to be here with you. I would like to welcome you to this, the 1,263rd episode of Purpose Kingdom Network. I am your guest host for the next hour, Pastor Tyleen Bailey. I am standing in for our very own Pastor Jamon Jackson, who is not with us this evening due to other ministry obligations. However, I'm standing in for him, and I would like to welcome you to his ministry, Life Without Limits. Amen. Now, this evening, we are going to be talking about a topic that is something that we all should be working on as believers in Jesus Christ. And that topic is what we say out of our mouth. When I was a little girl, if someone said something off-color, disrespectful, or just blatantly rude and crude, our elders would tell us that we better watch what we say out of our mouth. Now, that usually came after a quick pop in the mouth, but they would say, you better watch what you say out of your mouth, or they would just simply say, you better watch your mouth. Now, Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 12, verses 36, I tell you, on judgment day, people will give an account for every thoughtless word they have uttered. Yet, when you turn on TV, radio, or any type of media, whether it be mainstream or not, we see and hear people saying all types of filth and foul statements. People doing things and saying things with no type of decorum or truth about them. In amazement, and you wonder why, and then you hear the President of the United States of America get up and take the stand and open his mouth, good old number 45 himself, or you read the nonsense he posts on social media, and you wonder if anybody ever took the time to tell him that he needs to learn how to watch what he says out of his mouth. So that is what we're going to be talking about this evening. God has brought me here this evening, and that is a conversation that we are going to be talking about. Watch what you say out of your mouth. And I don't want anyone to miss this word of God this evening, so I encourage you to send out a message to family and friends and let them know that we are broadcasting live now on www.blogtalkradio.com/purposekingdom. Let them know they can join us via phone. If you are out there listening via live stream, you can join us via phone at 319-527-6091 or 323-870-4174. I'm going to give those two numbers once again, 319-527-6091 or 323-870-4174. And please know that I would love to hear from you this evening as we discuss watching what you say out of your mouth. So if you would like to talk to us, you can call in one of those numbers and just hit one, and our producer and engineer, Brother Robert, will bring you in as soon as he sees your line lit up. So you know what I'm going to tell you to do? Grab your Bible, something to write with and on, and let's jump right into our lesson so that we may study to show ourselves approved unto God, workmen who need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Amen. So now, as you're getting your Bibles and pens and paper and things, I want to let you know that tonight we're going to be coming out of the book of James. again, will be coming out of the book of James, that is in the New Testament. We are coming from the third chapter, and we are going to be covering verses 1 through 12. Amen. Again, that's the book of James, chapter 3, and we will be reading verses 1 through 12. And this evening, I'm reading from the Passion Translation. So know that my scripture may read a little differently than yours. Again, I'm reading from the Passion Translation, beginning at James chapter 3, verse 1, and it reads, "My dear brothers and sisters, don't be so eager to become a teacher in the church, since you know that we who teach are held to a higher standard of judgment. We all fail in many areas, but especially with our words. Yet if we're able to bridle the words we say, we are powerful enough to control ourselves in every way, and that means our character is mature and fully developed. Horses have bits and bridles in their mouths so that we can control and guide their large bodies. And the same with mighty ships, though they are massive and driven by fierce winds, yet they are steered by a tiny rudder at the direction of the person at the helm, small part of the body, yet it carries great power. Just think of how a small flame can set a huge forest ablaze. And the tongue is a fire. It can be compared to the sum total of wickedness and is the most dangerous part of our human body. It corrupts the entire body and is a hellish flame. It releases a fire that can burn throughout the course of human existence. For every wild animal on earth, including birds, creeping reptiles, and creatures of the sea and land, have all been overpowered and tamed by humans. But the tongue is not able to be tamed. It's a fickle, unrestrained evil that spews out words full of toxic poison. We use our tongue to praise God our Father and then turn around and curse a person who was made in his very image. Out of the same mouth, we pour out words of praises one minute and curses the next. My brothers and sisters, this should never be. Would you look for olives hanging on a fig tree or go to pick figs from a grapevine? Is it possible that fresh and bitter water can flow out of the same spring? So neither can a bitter spring produce fresh water." That was James chapter 3, verses 1 through 12, reading from the Passion Version. And we know that the word of the Lord is already blessed. So we ask God right now for a blessing to the reading and the hearers of his word, that it may sink deep into our hearts for the edification of our souls. Amen. Let us pray before we dive into God's word. Hallelujah, God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, God. Father God, it is once more and again that we, your handmaid servants, come humbly yet boldly before the throne of glory. We come, Father God, to say thank you, Father. We come to praise you. We come to bless and glorify your holy name, Father. We come to magnify you this evening, Father, for you and you alone are God. Hallelujah, God. We come, Father God, asking that you will toil the soil of our minds this evening, that your word will fall on good ground this evening in the mighty name of Jesus, Father. We come, Father God, asking that we are not just hearers, but also partakers of your word this evening. In the mighty name of Jesus, Father, we come ready, Father, to learn correction and redirection through your word. In the mighty name of Jesus, hallelujah, God. We come, Father God, just excited in expectation of what you are going to do this evening. In the name of Jesus, Father, We come, Father, asking that you will hold the enemy at bay long enough this evening that some lost soul come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ in the mighty name of thee, Father. Hallelujah, God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. I sit here today, Father, this evening in a place of surrender to your will and to your way, Father. Have your way this evening, Father, as you use me, speak through me, move through me as you see fit in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. It is in the mighty name of Jesus that we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Hallelujah, God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Again, I am really very excited to be here with you this evening. I want to encourage you all to call in and to join in with us and take part in our conversation as we talk this evening on our topic, You Better Watch What You Say Out of Your Mouth. Amen. Now, an interesting fact that I learned during this study for this topic, Watch What You Say Out of Your Mouth, is that I found out that during World War II, there was actually a memo that went out to the soldiers that warned them not to speak freely when they went back home about what was going on at the in the war or at the war front. An official army memo contained 10 specific things soldiers needed to be careful talking about. These words were added at the end of the memo. Loose talk is direct delivery to the enemy. If you come home during war, your lips must remain sealed and your written hand must be guided by self. Have you got them? Or do you want your buddies in your country to pay the price for your showing off? You face the battle front. It's little enough to ask you to face the home front. Remember, loose lips might sink ships. Now, this was something that the military during World War II was sending with their soldiers when they would go home during the war for visits, to remind them to be careful of what they said out of their mouth, because what you said out of your mouth could make the difference between a successful mission and a bad one. It could make the difference between winning the war and losing the war. And when I looked at that, I couldn't help but to think about James chapter 3, verses 1 to 12, because it's sort of like God is giving the same type of memo to the church, to the soldiers of his army, warning us of the danger of misplaced words when we reside in the army of the Lord and in the body of Christ. Now, in the church, loose lips do not sink ships, but they can make shipwrecks of people's lives in both the physical and spiritual realm. Amen. Say that again, because that's something that I really believe God wants us to understand. In the body of Christ, although loose lips may not sink ships, they can make shipwrecks of people's lives in both the physical and spiritual realm. So what does that mean? It means that God is saying he doesn't care what your position is, what position you hold, what title you go by, or how holy you may believe yourself to be. Even the best of us still need to be cautious about what we say out of our mouth. We still need to be cautious against a dictating, judgmental, censorious, mischievous, manipulative use of our tongues. Amen. And James begins first in teaching us about this. He begins first by talking to the leaders, although he does it in a roundabout way. He begins by telling the brothers and sisters, don't be so eager to become a teacher in the church. And then he says it in this roundabout way of a reminder to the leaders, since you know that we who teach are held to a higher standard of judgment. Now, these words does not mean that we are supposed to stop teaching in the church. It does not mean that if you feel the call of teaching and ministry and teaching and evangelizing in your spirit that you are not supposed to give a leeway to the unctioning of the Holy Spirit. What God told us to do concerning direction and instruction in our duty, what he told us to do for correction in and through the love of Christ as believers when we need to and when we need it, he has told us those instructions and given us ways to do it. But what we must not do is we must not speak or act as those who are continually assuming a chair or a position of judgment, censorship, dictatorship, mischief, or manipulation. We must not make our own sentiments and feelings and emotions a standard by which to try all others. Amen? Because we must remember that God gives various gifts to all people and expects from each according to the measure of light which he gives. Hallelujah, God. So remember, he said gifts and talents come without prayer or repentance. So he gives various gifts to all. And he expects from according to the measure of light which he gives. Therefore, by not many masters or teachers, as some translations will give it, do not give yourselves to wanting to hold that position so that you can have an air of teacher or imposer or judge, but rather, and especially if you already hold that position, we should speak with the humility and the spirit of learning. Hallelujah, God. We should not be in a place where we are censoring one another. We should not be in a place where we are judging one another as if all must be brought to our own standard. And why is James making this message important? Not just for those that's in leadership, because it's not just those that are in leadership that sometimes put themselves into a place that we should not be, but we do it as just laymen in the church. I know somebody sitting there going, oh, no, not me, or not my sanctuary, not our branch of Zion. We've never done it. But think about it. How many times have you sort of looked down your nose because somebody's skirt was too short or some young man had their pants sagging too low or too many tattoos on them or too many piercings on them or too many children without a father or a husband right there by their side? I mean, let's be honest about it. See, that's the blessing of what we're doing right here at Purpose Kingdom Network. You are in your own home. So you have the opportunity to be honest where there's nobody but just you and God. And why does he tell us to be careful of this? It's for two reasons. One is because we have to remember that we who are teachers are judged by a greater standard. But the second reason is because of what God tells us, what Jesus tells us, in scripture, those who thus set themselves up to as judges and censors shall receive the greater condemnation. Our judging others will but make our own judgment the more strict and severe. If you don't believe me, look at Matthew 7 and 1 and 2. Those who are curious to spy out the faults of others and arrogant in passing judgments and penalties upon them may expect that God will be as extreme in marking what they say and do that is wrong. Hallelujah, God. The next reason that we have to be careful is because the Word of God tells us that we all sin. We have all sinned. Romans 3 and 23 says that we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. In many things we offend, all of us do. But if you want to know the one thing that we all offend in the most, it would be in the area of our tongue, what we say out our mouth. Look at the wisdom that we get in James chapter 3, verse 2. He says, we all fail in many areas, but especially with our words. Yet if we're able to bridle the words we say, we are powerful enough to control ourselves in every way. And that means our character is mature and fully developed. In other words, he said, we all fail. So that means this is a common problem. It's not something that you're dealing with or that just I'm dealing with or just Brother Rob is dealing with. It's a common problem. Hallelujah. And these are wise words because the truth of the matter is loose lips in the church is a common problem. If you don't believe me, look at how many people are running from the faith of Christ because of church hurt based on things that people said to them. And don't sit there and lie to yourself and say you said it in love and correction. No, you didn't, because the love of Christ does not make babes in Christ one. When we look at these words that he spoke, he said, we all stumble in many things. We all fail in many things. Believers all sin with their words at some time or another. The verb fail in this sentence is present tense. He didn't say we all failed past tense. He said we all fail present tense, meaning that we keep on stumbling. Said we is plural, meaning that we all keep on stumbling. And of all the besetting sins there are in existence, the one that is most common, the one that most believers stumble in the most, is what we say out of our mouths and the mannerism in which we speak one to another. The Lord sent me here tonight to say we better start watching what we say out of our mouth. Hallelujah, God. And that's what James is trying to get us to see right here in verse 2. He's trying to get us to notice that we all stumble, and then he wants us to strive not to stumble in our words. Scripture often sees the mouth, the tongue, as the focal point of our sinful nature. In Matthew 15, the Pharisees were more concerned about external rituals rather than what came out of their hearts through their mouth. To this, Jesus said, these people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me, and in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrine the commandments of men. When called the multitude to himself, he said to them, hear and understand. That's Matthew chapter 15, verses 8 and 10. Jesus reminded them that what a man likes to talk about is an indicator of what is in his heart. So Jesus said, are you also still without understanding? Do you not yet understand that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and is eliminated? But those things which proceed out of the mouth comes from the heart, and that is what defiles a man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murder, adultery, fornication, theft, false witness, blasphemy. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile a man. Matthew chapter 15, verses 16 and 20. Excuse me. Why was Jesus speaking on this? Because at that point, gotten caught up in the ritual. The Pharisees, the Sadducees, the church was teaching about the rituals, but they had stopped teaching and preaching about a relationship. Hallelujah, God. The reason that we're talking this evening about watching what we say out of our mouths is about getting us into a closer relationship with God. Because it is our tongue, as we are about to see, that drives the whole matter of the man. The Apostle James was so concerned with the power of our words and the power of our tongue that he mentions the matter in every chapter of his book. In James chapter 1, verse 19 and 26, James chapter 2, verse 12, James chapter 3, verses 1 through 12, James chapter 4, verse 11, and James chapter 5, verse 12. Every chapter of his book he talks about, teaches on, and warns us about the power of our tongue and the words that we say out of our mouth. Remember, God's word tells us that life and death lies in the power of the tongue. Been talking about the teachers, and somebody might be sitting there going, oh, well, I'm good because I'm not a teacher in the church. I mean, I know she said we all fail with our tongues, but I'm good because I'm not a teacher. Well, what I need you to understand is the truth. And the truth is that every time you open your mouth as a believer in Jesus Christ, you are teaching the world what your relationship with God is and how God is and what his relationship, his desire of relationship is to be with mankind. And that in itself makes you a teacher. But when you realize that you are a teacher, that should not puff you up, because it's not of you, it's of God. So such knowledge should produce a certain humility in all of us, so that when we speak, it's not about self-promoting and speaking to look important because of the words that are coming out of our mouth, but it's about building up the kingdom of God. Hallelujah, God. It's about realizing that we are all open to the same failings and failures and trials and temptations as the same people who hear us. Common problem, it should become a common goal. It should be the common goal of everyone who is in the body of Christ to aim to become that perfect man. For the word of God tells us to be perfect, for he is perfect. Now, we know that in the flesh we will not find perfection, but that does not mean that we are not to aim for it. Because once we aim for it, and beginning with the bridling of our tongue, it enables us to bridle the whole body. All of us should be aiming at this maturity of taming our tongue. And it's okay. Like, if you're having trouble coming to that maturity, understand it's okay. You are in good company. Many great saints before you have struggled with their tongue in the words that they said. Moses had anger issues. Solomon had some anger issues. David had some anger issues. Peter had some anger issues. The prophet Isaiah had some anger issues. His tongue was so bad, the Lord had to put a firing coal from under the altar in heaven on it. So I want you to understand that it's okay, but now that you see that what it is, let's begin to study on it so that we can learn how to give it to God. And I don't mean give it to God so that he has to do all of the work. I mean that we're doing the work right along with him and giving it to him through the power of his Holy Spirit so that that holy bridle can take place in us. Hallelujah. Look at what James says in chapter 3, verse 3. He said, behold, we put bits into the horse's mouth that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. The governing and guiding of all the motions of a horse by a small bit which is put into its mouth. This shows itself very much by the tongue, so that this must be bridled. Once that bridle gets into the mouth of that bridle gets into the mouth of a horse, it literally pushes down on their tongue. It controls which way they go, what they do, how they move. That one little thing in their mouth controls their whole body. Psalm 39:1 says, I will keep my mouth with a bridle, or I will bridle my mouth while the wicked is before me, depending on which version. The more quick and lively your tongue is, the more you should watch what you say out your mouth. See, that's what I love about this tonight. Can't nobody sit there and say, oh, well, you need to do, girl, you need to do this. Man, you need to do that. No. You know if you got a slick tongue. This between you and God right now. If you don't learn how to bridle it, just like an unruly, unbroken horse can run away wild with their rider, it could throw them to the ground, it could trample them, it could kill them, so also can an unruly tongue do the same like manner to the person who has no control over it. Hallelujah, God. James 3:4-5 says, in the same with mighty ships, though they are massive and driven by fierce winds, yet they are steered by a tiny rudder at the direction of the person at the helm. And so the tongue is a small part of the body, yet it carries great power. It's the same thing. That small little rudder at the bottom of a ship can control the entire direction that the ship goes in. When the right person is steering the ship, no matter what type of storm comes out up on the ocean and on the sea, no matter how massive the wave, if the right person is at the helm of that ship, they can control that rudder in such a way that they can steer that ship through any storm safely. Somebody going to get this in a second. If you have the right person at the helm of your ship, and the right person, the captain should be Jesus Christ. He can control the rudder of your tongue to control your body to get you through whatever storms of life may come your way. Hallelujah, God. But it all comes down to getting control of that small little member of our body. Getting control of our tongue. We need to make it a study to learn how to get control of our tongues, because our tongues are capable of doing great, great deals of good, but they're also capable of causing great, great deals of hurt and destruction. That's why we are taught to dread an unruly tongue. We're taught that it is one of the most pernicious evils that exists. The scripture, James, compared it to a little fire placed among a great deal of combustible matter, which soon rises aflame and consumes all before it. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. There is such an abundance of sin in the tongue that I can understand why Matthew Henry Clark, the commentator, referred to it as a world of iniquity. I mean, just think about it for a second. Let's just think back over our own life. Let's walk down. You walk down your own boulevard. I'm going to walk down Toy Boulevard. I want you to walk down your own street. How many defilements are your tongue responsible for? How many unkind words has been spoken off of your tongue? How many dreadful flames have been kindled because of the words that were said out of your mouth? Yes, the tongue may be a small member of the body, but it defiles the whole body. There is a great pollution and defilement in sins of the tongue. Its defiling passions are kindled, vented, and cherished by this unruly member, the tongue. And the whole body is often drawn into in guilt due to the tongue. That's why Solomon tells us in Ecclesiastes 5 and 6, suffer not thy mouth to cause thy flesh to sin. The trouble that we are sometimes led into by the tongue are insufferable to themselves and destructive to others. We must be aware. Remember, James said that the tongue is a hellish fire. We must be aware of the fact that hell has more to do in the promoting of the fire of the tongue than we are generally aware of. We don't even realize how much credit he gets on it because of who he is. Lucifer is expressly called a liar, a murderer, an accuser of the brethren. And the truth of the matter is, whenever our tongues are employed in any of these ways, they are set on fire from hell. And when it's set on fire from hell, our tongues become mischievous, manipulative, producing rage and encouraging hatred. And those things all serve the purpose of Lucifer. So just as we would dread fires and unsafe flames, we should dread contentions, reveling, slanders, lies, and everything that would kindle the fire of wrath in our own spirit or in the spirit of others. Hallelujah, God. We are talking this evening about watch what you say out of your mouth. We want to welcome you to Life Without Limits. I'm Pastor Talene Daly. I'm standing in for Pastor Jermaine Johnson this evening. And we are talking about watching what you say out of your mouth. We are in the book of James. We started in James chapter 3, verses 1 through 12, and we are almost done with our Bible study this evening. We want to encourage any of you out there listening, if you would like to join in with our conversation, you can feel free to call in at 319-527-6091 or 323-870-4174. Simply press 1. We would love to hear from you. We would love to speak with you about God's word and about us growing as believers in Christ and watching what we say out of our mouth. Now, we are now at James chapter 3, verses 7 and 8. And what it's saying right here is it says, every kind of beast and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but the tongue can no man tame. It says that James is saying lions and tigers and bears, oh my, and most savage beasts, as well as horses and camels and dogs and creatures of great strength. All of these, man has been able to tame and control. Birds, although some are very wild and ravenous, some are very tame. But they have wings that could lift them above the air, well out of our reach, yet we were able to tame them and control them. Serpents full of venom, more powerful than we are. Some of them, boa constrictors, can swell up and just crush us. We are able to tame them. We are able to make them familiar and harmless in certain instances. We have taken animals out of the sea and tamed them and turned them not just into serviceable animals, but into taming animals. We've subdued them. And we're not talking about you know, taming animals by some miraculous way, like God did with Daniel in the lion's den, or how he had the ravens feed Elijah, or how he had the great fish carry Jonah in his belly to dry land. No, we're not talking about those. We're not talking about miracles. We're talking about man taking the time to learn, tame, and control these animals. But we have not been able to do the same thing when it comes to our tongue. We've come up with all these manners, but no man can tame the tongue without supernatural grace and assistance. And that's the difference. See, the Apostle James, he intends to represent that this thing is extremely difficult, but it's not impossible. And the way that you tame the tongue, the way that you get control of your words, is through the grace and assistance of Jesus Christ. Through great watchfulness and pain. I'm not going to tell you it don't hurt sometimes to swallow some of them words you want to say that you know not of God, because your feelings were hurt. So it does cause pain and a whole lot of prayer to keep this thing under control, to keep this little woolly evil that is full of poison in our bodies under control. Brute creatures may be kept in bands. Brute creatures may be managed by certain rules. Even certain serpents, as poisonous as they are, can be kept under control and constraint. But the problem is with our tongue. Our tongue is apt to break out and act a fool at any given time unless we take the utmost care. And even with the utmost will possible to take place. So what must we do? How do we be mindful? How do we stay considerate of what we say out of our mouth? We remember what it is that we use our tongue for, what it is we use our tongue in the service of. We use our tongue in the service of God. And by such a consideration of knowing that this same tongue is praising God, it should help us in censoring our own tongue when it comes to cursing and censoring and judging and manipulating and mischief on others. We use our tongue to praise God, our Father, and then turn around and curse a person who was made in his very image. Oh, but he did this to me. Oh, but he did that to me. He didn't say that. He was still made in his image. God is going to handle that. Want to know where the power is in the church? Why so many places and people feel powerless? Because you ain't gave power of this tongue to God yet, so that he can teach you how to call on powers from on high. We have to get to a place where we know that what we say out our mouths, we will one day give account for. And then we have to look at how it makes us look. Now, I'm not talking about walking in fakeness. But as he said in James 3, 11 and 12, would you look for olives hanging on a fig tree? Or go pick figs from a grapevine? What he's trying to say here is that that's impossible. He said, will fresh and bitter water flow from the same spring? He's saying that's impossible. These are facts of nature that are impossible. And because these are facts that of nature that are impossible and contrary one to another, so is it for us as believers in Jesus Christ as we walk in him, walk, grow in him, walk in the oneness of him, for us to say that we have fresh waters springing through from Jesus Christ, but then bitter waters are coming out also. At some point, you're going to have to check where your water flow and source is coming from. You better watch what you say out your mouth. And in watching that source, somebody might be out there today and they're like, you know, I heard everything you said, but I don't know this Jesus person you're talking about. I don't know him for myself. I don't have a relationship with him, so I don't know how to get him to be the bridal that I would need him to be in my life, the bit that I would need him to be in my mouth, because I don't know him in my life. Okay, because this is an opportunity for you to come to him right now. This is an opportunity for you to come to him and give yourself to him. This is an opportunity for you to come to him and give your tongue over to him. It's not something that's hard to do. The word of God tells us if you believe in your heart and confess out of your mouth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that you shall be saved. God tells us in John 3:16 that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. This is your opportunity. Whosoever covers whoever you are, wherever you are. It covers your race, your culture, your creed. It covers your financial situation. It covers any and every wrongdoing that you've ever done. This is your opportunity to come and begin a new life in him. Hallelujah, God. And you do it by simply repeating this prayer after me. You don't have to say these exact words. You can say it however you feel comfortable, but you first start by acknowledging God. So you call out to him, Father, and then you accept the gift that he gave you. So you let him know, I accept the gift that you gave to me, your son Jesus. Now you ask him into your life. So Jesus, I ask you into my life. I ask you to forgive me of my sins. I ask you to begin to make me new. And then you feel it, it's amen. So you just say amen. And then you tell somebody. You don't have to wait until Sunday morning, Sabbath, worship, Bible study, prayer service. You can tell somebody, hey, I gave my life to Christ this evening. Call somebody on the phone and let them know. If you're listening via the live stream, you have a few more minutes. You can call in 319-527-6091 or 323-870-4174. Simply push 1, and you can say, hey, I gave my life to Christ this evening. However you choose to do it, and according to God's word, as soon as you make this confession out of your mouth, you are saved, and we welcome you to the kingdom of God. And we bless God for each and every one of you. Now, of course, we encourage you to find the Bible Believing Teaching Preaching Sanctuary, where you can grow in the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and heal from the trials and the tribulations of this world. But if for some reason you cannot bless God, that is why he has Purpose Kingdom Network here for you. Please join us tomorrow evening for another episode of Purpose Kingdom Network. We are going to have Brother Robert Pop-Pop Hudson come on with the announcements. He is going to let you know who will be on, as well as how you can continue to follow us here at Purpose Kingdom Network. Brother Rob?
Yes, thank you so much. And thank you so much for this Bible study for tonight. Very powerful and important message. And I appreciate that. And I just thank you. And I just hope that everything that was poured out of you tonight will be restored to you 100-fold. And maybe 1,000-fold. I just thank you so much for allowing us to, just learn from just, what you taught us tonight. And real quickly, this is a product of Purpose Kingdom Network. I'd like to thank each and every one of you for joining us for tonight's episode. Whether you're joining us online or via phone, I'd like to thank you so much for lending your support here to us at Purpose Kingdom Network, and also to share with friends and family members. If you want to correspond with us here at Purpose Kingdom Network via email, you can correspond with us here at purposekingdomnet@gmail.com. You can send your comments, questions, concerns, or you can simply say hello or send a prayer request, or just let us know that you turned your life over to Christ. We greatly appreciate that, and we gladly share the news. With that being said, we also invite you to like us on our Facebook page, which is at Purpose Kingdom, where you can see our upcoming shows and advertisements. And also we're on Instagram and Twitter at Purpose_Kingdom. We're anywhere where podcasts are broadcasted, especially at LinkedIn, iTunes, and Apple Play and Google Plus. If you want to hear any of our past or previous broadcasts, you can go to www.blogtalkradio.com/Purpose Kingdom. Where you can simply type in the host name or the show name, and you can hear that show in its entirety and at your convenience. And we greatly appreciate that, and we greatly appreciate the sharing of our podcast. Well, God's will, God's blessing. We'll be joining us tomorrow evening at the 9 p.m. hour for One Touch Transformations, hosted by Minister Arthenius Jackson. And once again, with God's will, God's blessing, we'll be joining us tomorrow evening at the 9 p.m. hour for One Touch Transformations with host Minister Arthenius Jackson. We thank you, and we just appreciate your support here for us at Purpose Kingdom Network. We thank you once again. And with that being said, I'm going to turn the program over back over to Pastor Toy.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Brother Rob. We thank and praise God for each and everyone who joined in with us this evening. We praise God for you. We pray that the word this evening was something that touched your soul. We pray that it fell on good ground. As I said, this, tonight's word, when I say my feet hurt because I was stepping all over my toes, I am one who is slick with that tongue. So I know what it's like. I know what the battle's like. I know the fight is real. But I'm here to encourage you in the name of Jesus that if you give it to God, I promise you will begin to see a change. And I'm still learning, y'all. I'm still learning how to bridle this thing. But I am going to tell you this. The more I go with the bridling of the Holy Spirit of Christ, the easier I see situations becoming and being. Know that I love you with the love of Christ. I bless God for each and every one of you. Thank you for allowing me to sit in for Pastor Demond Johnson. He will be back in 2 weeks right here with Life Without Limits. Don't forget to join in with us tomorrow evening for Minister Arthenius Jackson and One Touch Transformation. Again, we love you with the love of Christ. Good evening. God bless you. Good night.
Jesus led.
He raised me, I will not lose. He saved me, I will not lose. Set me free, I will not lose.
Step one to see me down, I will not lose.
He saved me.